come. If you don't know Christ, if you've never had your sins washed beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I sure pray that today would be your day of salvation. I pray that today would be the day that you come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're physically able this morning, let's stand. We'll read five verses this morning here in Deuteronomy chapter 31. We'll begin in verse 14. We'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 31 will begin in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." And I want to bring you a message this morning, taken right from verse number 19. Put it in their mouths. Put it in their mouths. Father, help us today, teach us. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We were in Deuteronomy 31 last Sunday night as we challenged our graduates from verses 7 and 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, the Levites, the priests, Joshua, and really all of the nation of Israel are hearing the final words, the final counsel, if you will, from their leader, Moses. And of course, these words of counsel were delivered by Moses, but they proceeded from the very mouth of God. In chapter 31, verses 14 through 18, the verses that we just read, these verses, the language that we find here, is strikingly akin to what we have found in our study in the book of Hosea, as Israel stood on the very doorstep of judgment. By the way, God did not wish His people to end at the judgment bar. That was not His wish. That was not His desire. But even as they are being counseled to be strong and of a good courage, God knew full well that they would forget Him. By the way, think about this for just a moment with me. This is what we preached last Sunday night. Would you look at verses 7 and 8 with me, or actually verses 6, 7, and 8? Moses is giving charge to Joshua because Moses knows that he's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to leave this earth, and Joshua is going to be the one to take the nation of Israel over into the promised land. And he says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go." We talked about that. Thou must go. These graduates, they're going to have to go. They're going forward. They're taking a new step in their life. And he said, "For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee." Thou must go, but He's going to go before you. You're going to have to step forward, But He's already going to be there. He's going to go with you. He's going to go ahead of you. He's going to be beside you. He's going to go before you. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now verses 6 through 8, those are shouting worthy promises, aren't they? Are you with me this morning? Isn't the fact that God says He'll be with us, that He'll go before us, that He'll not fail us, that He'll not forsake us, that's pretty good, isn't it? But then you get to verse 14. God takes Moses and Joshua into the tabernacle and He says, look, Moses, you're getting ready to die. You're not going into the promised land. But Joshua, you're going to lead the people into the promised land. But He said, but they're going to forget me. And there's going to come a day when I'm going to hide my face from them. What? You just told me to be strong and of a good courage. You just told me you're going to go before me. You're going to be with me. You're not going to fail me. You're not going to forsake me. But now you're telling me it's all for naught? Because you're telling me these people are going to quit on you? They're going to forsake you? They're going to forget you? What would your reaction be? I don't know. God, is this really worth it? God, you're telling me to take the people into the promised land so that they can inherit the land, but you're also telling me that there's going to come a day when you're going to hide your face from them, then why bother? And what does God do for them? What does God do for Moses? He gives them a song. You notice verse 19 again? He gives Moses a song. By the way, the ministry of Moses began and ended with a song. Exodus chapter number 15, when they come through the Red Sea, what did they do? They sang. What do redeemed people do? Or what ought they do? They ought sing. What did the nation of Israel in Exodus chapter number 15 do? They sang. They sang about the greatness of God. They sang about the power of God. They sang about the Egyptians that were killed there in the Red Sea. They sang to the glory of God. What do redeemed people do? They sing. What do people who need to remember need to do? They need to sing. And by the way, we're going to see this morning, that is the theme of this second song of Moses. The theme is remembrance. Would you look at chapter number 32 real quick? Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders and they will tell thee. His second song, which begins in verse number 2, and we'll get to that in just a moment, of chapter 32. But it is a song of remembrance. And one of the best steps in staying right with God is remembering. When did Israel stray from God? When they forgot God. If you've been with us on Wednesday night, Hosea chapter 8, verse number 14. Anybody remember what the first part of Hosea chapter 8, verse 14 says? The people of Israel did what? They forgot their Maker. The very one who created them. The very one who had given them all of the blessings. The Bible says there that they forgot. It says that Israel hath forgotten his Maker. By the way, let me say this morning as we think about Memorial Day tomorrow. This isn't a Memorial Day message per se, but one of the best ways to stay free as a nation is by remembering. That's what memorial means, isn't it? It's a remembrance. And the best way to stay free as a nation is to remember. And in verse number 19, he says, put it in their mouths. What do I need to put in their mouth? A song. You need to teach them a song. By the way, I want you to do something with me, just by way of introduction this morning. Take your hymn book. Would you take a hymn book this morning? And would you turn to page or hymn or song 131? How many of you this morning know the second verse of the Star-Spangled Banner? Word for word. One. If we knew the second verse of the Star-Spangled Banner, that would help us to remember who we are as a nation. I think it would help us as a nation. By the way, most people don't even know the first. But most of us, and I raise my hand because I don't, most of us cannot sing verse 2 without a book. Look what it says. It says, "Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation." What if every American knew the second verse of the Star-Spangled Banner? Praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And notice this, and this be our motto: in God is our trust. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Why is it important? This message isn't necessarily a message about music this morning. This is about the song that we're going to see in Deuteronomy chapter 32. But why is it so important that we put things like songs into the mouths of children and adults? It's so that we can remember. It's so that we can remember our God. One of the first things I ask a young person, if a young person is straying away from God, one of the first things I ask him is, what kind of music you listening to? By the way, I ask that to adults as well. Hey, what kind of music are you listening to? Because if I'm listening to the music of the world, I'm going to forget God. If I'm listening to this world's music, I'm going to forget God. But if I'm listening to God's music, if I'm listening to the great songs and hymns, if I'm listening to spiritual songs, it's going to help me remember my God. And I know, look, when you talk about music, boy, the hairs on the back of the neck begin to bristle. And I get that. Pastor, you ought not talk about music, because music is one of those, it's one of those areas that's just, it's a personal conviction. By the way, we're going to see that. We're going to blow that out of the water in just a moment. But I'll tell you what, and you know this if you'd be honest in your heart. When you're listening to worldly music, you're not as close to God as you could be. Because that kind of music causes us to forget. And so this morning, I want to look at the song that we're going to find in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And I want to see, if you have a bulletin, you see it there on the back of your bulletin. You have the outline of the message. But I want to give us three truths this morning that God wants us to remember. And we're going to find them in Deuteronomy chapter 32, the song that God gave to Moses. And so, we've already prayed. We don't need to pray again. I almost prayed again. Let me give you number one. Could I do that? If you have a bulletin, if you don't, I think there's probably some in the back. If you want to get up and get one, you're not going to bother me. But number one this morning, I want us to see, first of all, that God wants us to remember that He is the subject of our song. God wants us to remember this morning that He, and He alone, is the subject of our song. We begin in verse number one. The Bible says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Now, this is the song of Moses. Moses is teaching this song to the nation of Israel. Just like in Exodus chapter number 15, Moses sings, and then when he finishes, in I believe it's verse 21 or 22, we'll see in just a moment, but Miriam comes, and they sing it again. The people sing it again. And so Moses is going to teach the nation of Israel this song. What's the first thing that God wants us to remember is very simply that He is the subject of our song. Verse 2, He says, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness, and notice this phrase, unto our God. Would you hold your place here and go back, and I believe this will be the only time I'll have you turn this morning. Would you go back to Exodus chapter 15 real quickly? God wants us to remember that He is the subject of our song. Look, too much of our music is selfward instead of Godward. Too much of our music is to stir our emotions and stir our feelings and stir our flesh instead of simply being given to God. When Moses sang, and when Moses gives these two songs, he tells the people of Israel, you sing it to God. He said, ascribe ye greatness unto our God in Deuteronomy 32:3. Notice Exodus chapter 15. Look at verse number 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Let me ask us this morning, and look, I'm not trying to make statements of condemnation this morning. I'm not trying to do that at all, but I'm simply trying to get us to think this morning. Let me ask you, the songs, the music that you listen to this week, could you sing that to God? Now, I think that's a fair question. The music, the songs, and I don't care what genre it may be, but could you sing that to God? He said, sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Look at verse 21. And this is what I mentioned just a moment ago. And Miriam answered them, verse 21, sing ye to the Lord. Sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Same wordage as verse 1. They're getting ready to sing this over again. Moses sang it. Moses is teaching it to them. Now they're going to sing it again. Number one this morning, God wants us to remember that He is the subject of our song. Unto the Lord, to the Lord, unto the Lord. Look, it is not about our preferences. It is about what pleases God. Well, Pastor, my personal conviction about music is different than yours. Okay, that's fine, but can you sing it unto the Lord? That's a fair question for all of us to ask when we get in our cars and we turn our music on, or we put our earbuds in and we hit play on our phones, our iPhones, or our smartphones, and we start listening to our music. Is this music that God would be pleased with? Is this music that I can sing unto God? And if it's music that all it talks about is immoral relationships and it has profanity and curse words in it, I can guarantee you, you're not going to want to sing that to God. True? Number one, God wants us to remember that He is the subject of our song. Look here at Deuteronomy 32 again, if you would. First of all, what does that mean for us this morning? First of all, it means that our songs should be filled with the showers of Scripture. It means that our songs should be filled with the showers of Scripture. Again, notice what he says in verse number 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. What is he trying to tell us in verse 2? He says, my words are going to drop. My doctrine is going to drop like rain and like dew. What's he trying to teach us there? He said, what I'm getting ready to tell you is going to help you to grow. What does the rain do for the tender herb? Helps it to grow. What does the dew do for the tender herb? It helps it to grow. If you've planted any grass seed this year, maybe in the spring, what do you have to do to that grass seed for 2 or 3 weeks? It's a water. You can't just throw it out there and leave it. You can't just plant it and leave it. That grass seed needs some water. And by the way, two or three times a day, it has to be watered. Why? Because without it, it's not going to grow. What does Moses say here? He said, the song that I'm getting ready to give you is full of doctrine. It's full of Scripture. And Scripture is going to help you grow. He said, I'm going to publish the name of the Lord. You know what? Music ought to help us to grow spiritually. Ought to help us grow spiritually. Our songs should be filled with the showers of Scripture, the torrential downfall of rain, the flood of Scripture ought to come over us in the music that we listen to. Our songs should be filled. If He is the subject of our song, our songs should be filled with the showers of Scripture. Secondly, this morning, letter B, our songs should be filled with the greatness of God. Would you look at verse number 4? He, God, is the rock. By the way, five times in Deuteronomy 32, we're going to see the capital R, rock. Five times. Pastor, why do you think He uses that name for Himself? Well, I don't know exactly, but I'll submit something to us this morning. For a people that have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, that came out of bondage from Egypt, been under bondage for 430 years, they need some stability, don't they? He said, I'm the rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. By the way, if all His ways are judgment, justice and righteousness, boy, that makes the love and mercy of God even greater. That makes sense? If all His ways are judgment, then my goodness, look at the long suffering and the mercy of God. That just magnifies His mercy. He says all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. You know what He's saying there? They don't look like My children. They don't have the marks of My children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? Hath He not made thee and established thee? Oh, dear friend, our song should be filled with the greatness of God. They should be filled with the showers of Scripture. And by the way, I believe in my heart, and you can disagree, that's okay. I believe that's what's wrong with much of modern day music today. It is void of doctrine. And it is void of Scripture. You know the 7-Eleven songs I'm talking about? Sing the same seven words 11 times? Yeah, it's void of doctrine. So our song should be filled with the showers of Scripture. It should be filled with the greatness of God. And then thirdly, let us see, it should be filled with the lavishness of His love. Notice verse number 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee thy elders and they will tell thee. He said, look, remember, ask your fathers. They're going to tell you. What are they going to tell us? How good God is. How much love He lavished upon us. Look at verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is His people. That's pretty good, isn't it? For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. At that time, it was just Jehovah. It was just God leading them. It was God protecting them and caring for them. As an eagle, the Bible says, stirreth up her nest, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them, on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. Verse 13, He made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might, eat the increase of the fields. And He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grapes. What is verse 14? Verse 14 is, He doth daily load us with benefits. That's what verse 14 is. You know what verse 14 is? Verse 14 is America. That's how much God has blessed us. He said, look, this is what I provided for them. Butter of kine. Butter from the cows. He said, milk from the sheep. The fat of lambs, rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. He blessed Israel because He loved Israel. We saw that Wednesday night. He blessed them because He loved them. That was one of our truths Wednesday night. The lessons not learned. One of the lessons that Israel never learned was how much God loved them. They never learned that lesson. They never learned the lengths to which God went to demonstrate His love toward them. And by the way, God help us that we will never grow cold and never forget the lengths that God went to show His love to us. And what was the length that He went to? To give His Son. To give His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. We see, first of all, God wants us to remember that He is the subject of our song. They should be filled with the showers of Scripture. They should be filled with the greatness of God. They should be filled with the lavishness of His love. But verse 15, really down almost to the end of the song. These are the parts we don't like. We don't want to listen to songs like this because they convict us, because they show us where we're wrong. But God told Moses, this is the song I want you to give to the children of Israel because I want you to help them to remember. Remember, because when they don't remember, they forget and they leave me and they're going to serve other gods. Number one, God wants us to remember that He is the subject of our song. Secondly, God wants us to remember His warning against wandering. His warning against wandering. Notice verse 15. But Jeshurun, just another name for Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. By the way, he's not necessarily talking about physically fat. He's talking about the blessings. He's talking about what God has given them. He says, thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed, there's that word again, rock, capital R, the rock of his salvation. Listen, dear friend, and this is what I never want us to get to, is to the point where we are lightly esteeming our God. I think y'all are listening. But there could have been some amens right there. God help us when we get to the point where we lightly esteem the things of God. God help us when we get to the point when we forget how good God was to us in giving us salvation. God help us. And the nation of Israel got to that point. They forgot who He was. I don't even think I can explain that phrase, they lightly esteemed. Look, all of us this morning, we have people in our lives that we esteem, don't we? That we have great respect for. Yes. Teachers, folks that we work with, we highly respect them. We highly esteem them. We think much of them. There are many men in this church that I highly esteem in my heart because of who they are, because of how they live, because of the reputation and the testimony that they have. But you know what? The nation of Israel got to the point they barely respected their God. They lightly esteemed the rock of His salvation. They provoked Him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they Him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. What? They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock, there's that capital R again, that begat thee, notice this, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them because of the provoking of His sons and of His daughters. And He said, I will hide My face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved Me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked Me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Verse 22, for a fire is kindled in Mine anger. And a lot of people don't like that God. But the same God, Jehovah of the Old Testament, is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. There's no difference. God is, what did we read in verse number 4? For all His ways are judgment. For all His ways are judgment. By the way, that's why He sent Christ. Because His ways are judgment. His ways are just. His ways are righteous. And because of that, He knew that we can never be just. We can never be righteous. And so He sent Jesus Christ. Again, which magnifies His love and mercy. The fact that all His ways are judgment. He says, verse 22, for a fire is kindled in Mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend Mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destructions. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. Didn't we see that Wednesday night? He said they're going to be scattered. They're going to wander among the nations. And that's what they've done for almost 2,700 years. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I fear the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Verse 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. We could read on down pretty much to verses 43 and 44, but God wants us to remember His warning against wandering. Letter A, when we are fat, we forget. Now, I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about blessing-wise. When we are fat, we forget. Verses 15 and 18, we read verse 15, we read verse 18. But in verse 18 it says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. When we are fat, we forget. When we forget, then we forsake. That's what He says in verse 15. He said, thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him. Hey, we have everything we need. Why do we need God anymore? We have a beautiful house. We have furnishings in that house. We have groceries. We have cars. We have activities. We have hobbies. We have everything. We've got something going on every single day. Why do we need God? When we're fat, we forget. And when we forget, we forsake. Look again. That's why if I'm not listening to the right kind of music, I'm going to forget God. Because I'm not remembering. And when I forget, then I'm going to forsake. When I start to forget God and I begin to wander over here into other things, then you mark it down. The next step is me forsaking something that God wants me to do. Whatever that might be. When we are fat, we forget. And when we forget, we forsake. And then when we forsake, He is fired up. That's the part folks don't like today. For a fire, verse 22, is kindled in mine anger. Let me tell you something. When God comes back the second time, the nations of this world are going to know how fired up He is. When Jesus Christ comes riding that white stallion and comes back to do battle with the nations of this earth at the Battle of Armageddon, they are going to know how fired up He really is. What is He fired up against? Very simply, what is He fired up against? Sin. Sin. Against people who He gave everything to and they forgot Him. Everything. He gave them everything they could have possibly wanted and imagined. And they lightly esteemed Him. Verse 18 says, they were unmindful of Him. And they forsook Him. They forgot Him. The very God that formed thee, almost exactly as Hosea 8:14, Israel hath forgotten his Maker. They were unmindful of Him. They forgot Him. Look, that's why this needs to be put in our mouths. That's why these need to be put in our mouths. So that we'll remember. Look, I hope you get up every morning. I hope you go to bed every night, or at least a fair number of those days, with a song in your heart. With a right song in your heart. Because those songs help us to remember and turn our attention and fix our attention upon the God of heaven. Look, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. But look, when my heart is fixed upon that which pulls me to the world, man, I forget about my God. When my music and my entertainment and really my time is pulled toward the things of the world, I begin to forget my God. And when I forget Him, the next logical step is that I'm going to forsake Him. That's what happened to the nation of Israel. And He gives Moses this song. He said, look, I want you to remember that I am the subject of your song. I want you to remember the warning that I give you about wandering away from me. How many of you know the song, Come Thou Fount? How many of you know the name Robert Robinson? He's the composer of Come Thou Fount. Robert Robinson, as a young man, he and some of his cohorts attended a revival meeting where George Whitefield was preaching, and they only did so because they went to heckle the preacher. They went to mock and make fun of the evangelist. Well, Robert Robinson went to this meeting, he and some of his young men, but while he was there, George Whitefield spake on the wrath to come. And for 3 years, Robert Robinson struggled with the matter of being saved. 3 years later, he got gloriously saved, and shortly thereafter, he penned Come Thou Fount. In Come Thou Fount, in verse number 3, it says, O to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. But here's the sad thing. Later in his life, Robert Robinson actually wandered from God. He got on a stagecoach one day, he and another lady, just he and this lady, they got on the stagecoach, and as they began to go along on their journey, this lady that was sitting across from him, she began to hum, Come Thou Fount. And she's humming, Come Thou Fount, and she looks over, and Robert Robinson just has tears streaming down his face. She says, Dear sir, does my song, the song that I'm humming, does that offend you? And he said, Oh, dear madam, it doesn't offend me at all. He said, As a matter of fact, he said, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that song. And he said, I would give 1,000 worlds if I could have the joy now that I had when I penned that song. He wandered. And dear friend, that's why it's so important that we're constantly keeping this in our hearts and in our minds. That's why it's so vital that we're constantly remembering this. Why is it important? Why do preachers talk about having daily devotions? Is it just because that's the easy thing to preach about? No, because daily devotions help turn our hearts toward God. Why do preachers preach against worldly music? Is it because that's just an easy topic to preach on? Let me tell you, no, it's not. Because you make a lot of people mad when you preach about music. Is it just because it's easy? No, because right music keeps our hearts tuned toward God. Keeps it turned toward God. And away from this wretched world that we owe absolutely nothing to. Because this world has never given us anything, will never give us anything, will never take us anywhere except for the pits of hell. I don't owe anything to this world. I don't owe anything to its entertainment. I don't owe anything to its music. I owe nothing to the world, the flesh, and the devil. But I tell you what, this morning, I owe everything to Him. And all of us do. All of us that know Christ, we owe everything to Him. Number one, God wants us to remember that He is the subject of our song. Number two, God wants us to remember His warning against wandering. Then thirdly, this morning, God wants us to remember the testimony of His truth. God wants us to remember the testimony of His truth. Would you look back at chapter 31? In verse 19, God says, Teach it to the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness, a testimony for me against the children of Israel. Verse 20, For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. You know what God's saying here? He said, there's going to come a day when they just get into sin and get into sin and get into sin. He said, this song's going to come to mind. And it's going to testify against them because of who I was to them, how I warned them. But as Brother Jeff said this morning, you know, a lot of times we know what's right and wrong, and we know when we do it that it was wrong to do it, but we still do it. He said, it's going to testify against them. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination which they go about, even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. Now look again at chapter 32 and verse 44. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people. He and Hoshea, that's Joshua, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. Notice verse 47. Don't miss this. for it is not a vain thing for you. He said, look, I'm not just giving you vain words. Look what he says. Because it is your what? Life. It's your life. Hey, this is your life we're talking about, nation of Israel. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. He wants us to remember that He is the subject of our song, His warning against wandering. And then thirdly, He wants us to remember the testimony of His truth. It, first of all, it, the truth, the testimony of this truth is worthy for us to set, S-E-T. You see what He says in chapter number 31? Or excuse me, not chapter 31, chapter 32, verse 46. And He said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words. He's saying, give your hearts to it. Set your hearts on it. Put your heart on it. Set your eyes toward it. Set your heart toward it. Set your mind toward it. Set your life toward it. He said, this is your life. Listen, I know as Christians sometimes we compartmentalize our Christianity, but we cannot do that. How many of you would agree with me with me on that this morning? You can't do that. A Christian is who I am. I'm a smart. That's who I am. By the way, I can't change that. Even if I didn't like it, although I do, but even if I didn't, I couldn't change it. I mean, I guess I could. I could go change my birth certificate, change my name, but that's who I am. I'm a Christian. By the way, I shouldn't want to change being a Christian. And we compartmentalize and we think, well, Sunday is my Sunday and sometimes maybe Wednesday night. Those are my Christian days. And then Monday and Tuesday, those are my quasi-Christian days. Because I've just had a good message on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, I'm still doing pretty good. But you know, Friday night, that's my sow my wild oats night. No. I'm a Christian. Every second, it's my life. And He said it is worthy for us to set our hearts and our lives on the, look, on the words of that song. Yes, that's what He's speaking about here in verse 46. But really, I would say the words of this right here. It is worthy for me to set my heart and my life to the truth of His testimony. And then lastly, it witnesses against our sin. It witnesses against our sin. We read it in verses 31, excuse me, chapter 31, verses 20 through 23. It witnesses against our sin. You ever done something like Brother Snow said this morning, you knew it was wrong, but you went ahead and did it anyway, and immediately the truth of God's Word testified against you. Or the Holy Spirit, at that very moment, testified against you and said, hey, here's the verse. You know it. But you didn't obey it. You see, that's what the Word of God does. By the way, that's what many of these do for us too. By the way, and again, and I'm done. And I'm not, I promise you, I'm not going to run a trail right here. But I do want to say a couple things. That's why I still like opening this book. I'm not against churches that have words on the screen because some people can't see the words in the book. I get that. I'm not against that at all. But I still like opening this. Just like I still like opening this. I'm not their judge and they can do whatever. But I don't like it when a preacher comes to the pulpit without a Bible and he just uses his computer. Well, the Bible's on the computer. I know that. It's on his iPad. I know that. But people need to see somebody opening the Bible. Because this shows the people that he's preaching to where his authority comes from. He's not just preaching his opinion. He's preaching from the authority by which he lives. It is worthy. It is worthy for us to set. It witnesses against our sin. Put it in their mouths. What do we need? What did God tell Moses to put in their mouth? That song. By the way, finish reading it today. Would you do that? We stopped at verse 29, I think. Would you read verse 30 through 43? Oh, it doesn't get any better. Because His ways are ways of judgment. But He warns us. And He said, Moses, put this in their mouths so that they'll remember, so that they'll bring it to remembrance. God help us this morning. Let's put some things in our mouths so that we... Hey, what do you do when you put something in your mouth? You chew it. You eventually... Well, most of the time you do. You eventually swallow it. You digest it. It gives you nourishment, doesn't it? He said, put it in their mouths. Why do our little ones need to learn these? So that when they're 13, 14, 15, they're getting ready to do something they shouldn't do, either the Word of God or a song of God is going to come to their mind. Look, I want to be like Moses, and I don't know that I will be, but I want to be like Moses where I go out with a song on my heart. With a song in my mouth and a song on my heart. I pray that that's all of us this morning. Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray that You'd help us today. Lord, help us to put some things in our mouths. Father, help us to understand that You are the subject of our song. Lord, help us to heed Your warnings. Father, You never ever intended for Israel to come to the judgment bar. They were the apple of Your eye. And Father, You never intend for us to have to go through the dark paths of chastening. But Father, if we're Your children and we're not doing right, for whom You love, You're going to chasten. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that we would put some things in our mouths so that we would remember. Remember Your goodness. Remember Your love. Help us, Lord. In Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one needs to be looking around. I encourage you. Miss Joe is going to begin to play here in just a moment. Believer, are you putting some things in your mouth? If you're not, let's do it. Are you putting some things in the mouth of your children, your grandchildren, people you have influence over? Hey, dear friend, are you here today? Have you never partaken of the lavish love of the Lord Jesus Christ? He came and He died on the cross, shed His blood so that we could be saved. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, demonstrations of the love of God that humankind has ever seen. Have you ever partaken of that? If you haven't, I beg you to come. Miss Joe's playing. If you need to come, come. Believer, you need to come. Maybe to this platform, maybe to this front pew. And just spend some time with the Lord. Maybe in the pew where you're at. Do you need to come this morning? Teach. Teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths. Why? To help them to remember. Now, by the way, He knew they weren't. He knew full well what they were going to do. But He said, put it in their mouths so that they'll remember. We put things in our phones. We put things on our calendar so that we'll remember. Dear friend, we need to put things in our mouths. The Word of God. The songs of God. So that we'll remember. By the way, let me say this. Our children can learn songs. They can. We need to put it in their mouths. Amen. Calling, O sinner, do what? Come home. You know that song, don't you? Because somebody put it in your mouth. Singing it, repetition, songs that we sing all the time. Boy, that gets in our minds, doesn't it? Gets in our children's minds. And that's a good thing. We're putting it in their mouths. I'm going to ask Miss Mary and her husband.